Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. And Tony, I really look up to you. So what's the secret to a long career?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Three things. Work hard, be thoughtful, dig up bad stuff about your bosses. You don't really think if I didn't have bad stuff that at this age I would still be on television, do you?
It really does explain a lot. Yeah, your reporting instincts still makes sense. Yeah,
it's all written down in different safe deposit boxes. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We'll not abandon you again. So I am joined by our great friend, the host of the podcast, Pablo Torre Finds Out, Mr. Pablo Torre. And we begin today with a big trade in the NFL, Pablo. The Buffalo Bills sent their number one wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, and a couple of draft picks to Houston for a second-round pick. It had been going around for some time that Diggs wanted to get out of Buffalo. His defensive back brother, Trayvon, wrote on social media that Steph should get out of there. Pablo, how do you see this impacting the resident quarterbacks, Josh Allen and C.J. Stroud?
I want to start with C.J. Stroud, Tony, because C.J. Stroud, for people who fell asleep last season, had not just the greatest rookie season we've ever seen from a quarterback. He led the NFL in passing yards and touchdown interception percentage. So this guy, now having Tank Dell, Nico Harrison, and suddenly Stephon Diggs, Dalton Schultz, by the way, Joe Mixon at running back, give me an offense that's more dangerous than the Houston Texans. So I just marvel at how the Texans were a laughingstock. Suddenly they've rebuilt themselves into an actual contender because of the offense that they have. But the Josh Allen thing, I want to throw it to you, because the Josh Allen thing, it just feels like the Bills are trying to do what Patrick Mahomes got away with, right? You don't need your number one receiver because that's how good you are.
Right.
Plus, we don't want to pay him. But I would be terrified if I'm a Bills fan.
Yeah, and the allusion you're making is to Tyreek Hill, of course. And
yes. And
while we think Tyreek Hill is a great player, they have won Super Bowls without him, so it's hard to necessarily make that case. If you listen to this network for any length of time, you will hear within a one-hour period this same question. Do you think that the window that Josh Allen has to win the Super Bowl is closing? Well, if you trade away your number one receiver, it certainly is an opening. I don't know how. I'm trying to figure out how you do that. I understand that his productivity went down after they changed offensive coordinators in the middle of the season. But to give away him and draft picks and only get a second round pick back, that's a little baffling to me. Wide receivers do not grow on trees. It's hard to get a free agent to Buffalo. So unless you tell me that Stephon Diggs walked in there and said, I'm not coming back here no matter what, then I'm going to question this particular trade. And it is terrible for Josh Allen. And you're right, it's great for C.J. Stroud. Look, they were the surprise of the league last year, but they were under no pressure last year. This year, Stroud and D'Amico Ryans will be under equal pressure at quarterback and coach to any quarterback and coach in the league, because this is the prove-it year. So this feels like an early Christmas present to get Diggs, unless, and this is my only caveat is this, he was not a happy guy in Minnesota. He probably wasn't happy, we think, in Buffalo. If he's not happy in Houston, he's a malcontent, that wouldn't be great. But if that's not true, it seems like they are a division winner for sure.
Yeah, and Tony, just remind me, right? The history of wide receivers you've seen, the characteristics you've described, this is kind of par for the course for a lot of star wideouts.
Yeah.
They do argue with their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They do, in the modern era, reply on Twitter saying, look, I need to be a number one guy, and I'm not treated like a number one guy. They just put that on the internet instead of just in the locker room. Now, that's a difference. But to me, to go back to the Texans for a second, because you're right about the Bills. I am horribly, horribly disappointed if I'm Josh Allen that this just happened to me. But the Texans have this thing going where they have a quarterback on a rookie contract, Tony. The most valuable asset in the NFL is a quarterback who's really, really good on a rookie contract. You can afford all of the things around him. And their window, the Texans' window, is bay windows. That's what they got. One of those nice big mansions. They can see the whole league through it. That's the situation they have in Houston.
We move now to the NBA, specifically NBA centers. Joel Embiid returned to the 76ers after 8 weeks out. He got 24 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals as Philly beat Oklahoma City with a late run. Nikola Jokic had 42 points, 16 rebounds, and one incredible length of the court pass as Denver beat San Antonio. And San Antonio's Victor Wembanyama had 23 points, 15 rebounds, 9 blocks, and 8 assists. Pablo, which center's performance should be the headline from last night?
So I'm going to go Embiid, but I just want to say that we have never seen a generation of players at this size with this skill level. Just hasn't happened. It's unprecedented. Last night, we saw a clinic in those three separate ways. But I'm going to go Embiid here simply because the Philadelphia 76ers, and you know I'm a priest of the process. I'm unfortunately somebody who's been invested in this team and the losing to get to the winning. The losing that's happened without Joel Embiid on the floor has been abysmal. I believe they were 11-18 without him. They were worse than some teams that were actually this season not trying to win. With him, though, they were the second best team in the league right behind the Celtics. So that's how important Joel Embiid is. He was so good this season when healthy that it reminded me, oh, this is what you want Wembanyama to be if healthy. You want him to perform like Joel Embiid with every stat sheet filled.
Yeah, so I'm not going to argue with that on any level. I'll get to Wembanyama first. I mean, because his stat line is actually rather amazing. 23 points, 15 rebounds, 9 blocks, 8 assists. That's so close
ridiculous.
To a quadruple-double. But he also shot 9 for 29, so he's out of this chase. Can't shoot 9 for 29 and have the most impact. In terms of Jokic, we see Jokic actually do this every single game. And his team wins, unlike Wembanyama's. I mean, he's been an MVP. He's got a ring. We've come to expect this. You're right. The answer is Embiid, because Embiid is right now the biggest X factor in the NBA. What will his health be like? Don't tell me about the game he just played. Let me see the next game. Let me see if he plays a back-to-back or he doesn't play a back-to-back, because their position is this. They got to get to sixth, because if you're in 7, 8, 9, or 10, then even if you win in a play-in, you have to get either Boston or Milwaukee. And Milwaukee, even with an awful, awful loss last night to Washington, you don't want to play them in the first round. And that's what they're looking for from Embiid, a big spurt, get into fifth or sixth, right? He's got to do that. Can he do that?
Well, the scary part is that look at the calendar. They got 2 weeks to figure this out. It's already April. The playoff, the play-in round specifically, the nightmare you're describing, is on the way.
Yeah.
The brief defense I'll give of Wembanyama, though, is that when I watched the highlights from this game last night, he went head-to-head against Jokic, of course. There was a sequence, Tony, where he goes, just easy layup because I'm 7 foot, whatever it is, 7'4" almost. And then he blocks Jokic on the other end, back again to the other side for a dunk. He's moving in transition. Like, the stock. If I could own a stock, I'd want Wembanyama. It's just not the stock that's most valuable at this moment. But speaking of this moment, I want to go to baseball, because the Phillies beating the Reds last night came thanks to two notable performances, Tony. First was Bryce Harper, who ended his 0 for 11 start to the season by hitting 3 home runs, knocking in 6 in Phillies' 9-4 win. And then pitching the last 4 innings for the Phillies was Ricardo Pinto, who had not appeared in the majors in 5 years. He didn't even arrive at the ballpark until the 3rd inning, because the guy was stuck in traffic on a 350-mile drive from Rochester. So, Tony, was Pinto's night from Rochester more special than Bryce Harper's?
Look, you hit 3 home runs in one night. That is a big deal. You hit 2 solos and a grand slam and you drive in 6, especially when, as you say, you're working on an 0 for 11 and you're working on a $330 million contract. There probably won't be 10 guys all year who hit 3 home runs in one game. There may not even be 5. But as special as that was, Pinto, Bryce Harper will never, ever be in this position. He gets in a car at noon in Rochester, New York, at a minor league facility. He drives 8 hours to Philadelphia, and it takes him 8. You talked about stuck in traffic, apparently stuck in traffic around the Allentown area. He gets to the ballpark around the 3rd, around the 4th inning, right? And then by the 6th inning, he's pitching. He has not pitched in the majors since 2019. So essentially, he got out of a car, he put on his cleats, and he went into the game. He gave them 4 innings. Well, they were not great 4 innings. I think 2 were earned, and he struck out 4, but he got a save. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
The length and breadth of that day. Pablo, at noon, he was in the minor leagues, and by 9 p.m., he had a major league save. Let me just say this. This is a movie. This is Bull Durham. This is show me what you got, meat. Throw it over here, meat. This is Bryce Harper will never have this. No, he won't.
Right. The defense of Bryce Harper as the lead story here. I'll make it just for the sake of argument. The guy, notably, when he was hitting those home runs because it was so cold and rainy, he was wearing a ski mask. And I bet there are some Philadelphians who are wondering, is this man wearing a ski mask actually the guy who robbed us of $330 million? Because 0 for 11
well,
is
MVP.
A little... when you're 0 for 11, when you're 0 for 11, thoughts cross your mind. Now, of course, Bryce Harper reminds everybody, I'm the MVP, don't worry about me, I got this. And he did.
Yeah.
But I guess where I'm landing here, based on your argument, is if you start the day as an iron pig, which is what he was when he woke up, and you wind up with a save in a major league victory, you're probably the lead story in that day's column. Yeah.
It's absolutely, I mean, if I'm writing the column, Bryce Harper, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm talking to this kid first. Let's take a break. Coming up, Matt Painter went after people who see Zach Edey as just tall. We'll ask Painter how he sees Edey.
We'll also ask him how he sees Edey's matchup against North Carolina State's DJ Burns.
Can you imagine hitting bad traffic in Allentown? What would Billy Joel say about that? Might write a whole song about Allentown. Wow.
Yeah.
8 hours,
yeah.
350 8 hours. Miles. 350 8 hours. Mile drive.
Do you know how many scenes in an Italian restaurant you can get inside of 8 hours?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Purdue is into the Final Four for the first time since 1980, when I believe I had just turned 50. Joining us now is the man who's coached the Boilermakers for the last 19 seasons, Mr. Matt Painter. Let me start with this. A week or so ago, you said that people who think that Zach Edey only succeeds because he's tall are basically morons and shouldn't be allowed to cover sports, and you said they should take a test. I love that. I agreed with every word of that. So I'll ask you, what do you see in the player, Zach Edey, who you have built your team around?
Right. You know, obviously he's been very consistent, very competitive. He has elite size. But the fact that he's in his seventh year of organized basketball, you know, he didn't play as a freshman in high school. It's a great story, but he's just kind of developing, even though he's going to be a two-time national player of the year. You know, he's getting better from year to year, but you know, he gets a lot of attention and he gets fouled a lot, and his ability to kind of take everything in and then still be a productive player, but also be an unselfish player, has been key for us.
So his next test, coach, is about to be DJ Burns, and of course, NC State. So what are you telling Zach about this assignment that he has coming up? What are you telling him about DJ Burns?
Yeah, DJ Burns is a great player. You know, he causes a lot of problems just because of his size, his ability to score, his ability to pass. He's very similar to a player we had at Purdue a couple years ago, Travion Williams. That was an all-league conference player at Purdue. And but you just can't give him angles. Like, when he gets angles, he makes you pay. But it's also hard. It's no different than Zach. Like, you know, you don't have a lot of people out there like DJ Burns to be able to have a reference point. And there's nobody in college basketball like Zach to have a reference point for him.
Right. Your reference point growing up, your favorite team, it sounds like, based on our research here, actually happened to be the Indiana Hoosiers. You're a Bobby Knight guy. You were a fan, of course. You go to Purdue. You play for Coach Gene Katie, a legend in his own right. But I just want to get a sense of, like, You know, how convinced did you need to be to actually wind up at Purdue in the first place?
Well, Bobby Knight was pretty smart. He didn't offer me a scholarship, so that made it real simple right there. He tried to get me to go to prep school, and he obviously had a good eye for things. I wasn't that good of a college player, but he wanted me to go to prep school for a year and then go to Indiana. But it was the right move, and I probably chose Gene Katie before I chose Purdue. You know, he was very straightforward. He was very honest. And then when I got there, I didn't play my first year, but I just loved him. I loved watching him on the sideline. Seemed like he got a technical every game in non-conference that first year. And I just loved his enthusiasm and how competitive he was.
So we'll get you out of here on this, and it'll be about Gene Katie. They showed Gene Katie in the stands at the regionals all the time. Even when a guy missed a foul shot and he went follow through, and you could see that he was saying that. He's up there. You get into the Final Four. He never made a Final Four. He's got tears in his eyes. Obviously, this is a guy you love. What does all of that mean to you?
Oh, man, that means everything to us. You know, he's our guy, man. He's the blueprint of this program. I've been very grateful to be able to follow him. A lot of these coaches that get opportunities, they're following four coaches in 20 years. I followed one guy who's been there for 25 years, and, you know, he just knew how to run a program. And he was so honest, but yet he was so tough during games, and we just loved playing for him. So for us to be able to get this done, and he's with us and he's a part of it, you know, that just makes it special.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Matt, and best of luck in the Final Four.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Let's take one last break, but still to come, huge viewership numbers for Iowa and LSU.
And Angel Reese decides whether to stay at LSU or head to the WNBA.
I'm going to take a shot that she's going to go. I mean, that's sort of what I'm thinking. She's going to go.
Oh, yeah?
I guess
yeah.
If I go the other way, I'll be surprised if she's...
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 23rd birthday, George Karlaftis. The defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs was the 30th overall pick in the 2022 draft out of Purdue. Karlaftis started right away as a rookie, and he is starring now. Last season, Karlaftis tied Chris Jones for most sacks on the team with 10.5. He's played two seasons in the NFL. He's got two Super Bowl rings, which goes under the heading of not bad. In the AFC Championship game against Baltimore, Karlaftis had a second quarter fumble recovery and a fourth quarter sack. In the Super Bowl against the 49ers, Karlaftis had a half sack, five tackles, three quarterback hits, and he recovered Christian McCaffrey's first quarter fumble.
He's also a Purdue guy, a Purdue through line in today's show. He actually was born in Greece, immigrated when he was a little kid, came to America, went to Purdue, got drafted, bottom of the first round by the Chiefs, another through line, the Chiefs being good. Like, how many players are they going to find? This dude's really great. Bottom of the first round, they nailed it again, and they're contending again in part thanks to him.
Must be a pretty good general manager there. Happy anniversary, Roy Williams. On this day 7 years ago, old Roy coached the North Carolina Tar Heels to their 7th national championship. This one was the third for Williams, who spent 18 seasons in Chapel Hill after 15 at Kansas. During all that time, Mike Krzyzewski was the coach at Duke. There was a great familiarity and comfort with Williams and Krzyzewski when you tuned into North Carolina and Duke. That's not the case now, as Hubert Davis and John Shire have lovely resumes as players and coaches at these schools, but they don't have the age yet, or the gravity, or the banners as coaches. What they do have in common this year is that they both lost to North Carolina State.
Yeah, this feels like a time to just acknowledge that NC State in two Final Four simultaneously, men's and women's, Kevin Keats, the men's coach, suddenly the guy leading the pack compared to North Carolina and Duke is just kind of unthinkable. If you know Roy Williams, of course, if you know his accent, his dance moves, his resume, the world kind of flipped since he left.
Not only NC State, UConn's got both in as well.
Both. Oh, that's right.
Happy trails to the previous record for women's college basketball viewers. I believe I had this.
You
Monday's
did.
Iowa-LSU game averaged 12.3 million viewers, the most watched women's basketball game ever. For context, Iowa-LSU outdrew the clinching game of last year's World Series and all but one of the five games in the NBA Finals. The audience peaked at 16.1 million viewers, not counting Jason Sudeikis and Pablo Torre, who were at the game. This is a tribute to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Their game in the final last year was the previous women's record, 9.9 million. Viewers of this year's women's second round, they're up 121% over last year. Overall increased interest may push the women's game to go to neutral sites in the first two rounds instead of allowing highly ranked teams to play those games at home, which seems unfair.
I just want to make this point, maybe as efficiently as I can. This game outrated NFL games, the Amazon Thursday night game at least. That's how big this story is. It's a cultural phenomenon. It's an individual story with Caitlin Clark, a story about a rivalry with LSU, but also a sports business story, Tony. We've reached a point where this high watermark, yes, might be the peak that we'll see, but it's also resetting the bar, raising the bar for all the expectations around the economics of these sports, the women's basketball game at the pro level and the college level. It's pretty mind-blowing, to be frank.
100%. What you want to see, is it the sport itself or is it the stars? You know, that's what you know next year, the year after that. As a new crop of stars comes up, if the stars propel everything along, there's huge money, obviously, in women's athletics. It's why NBC and all the promos for the Olympics is concentrating on women. I think they're looking for that audience. Let's go to the
Angel
big finish if we
pro.
Can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she should go pro. So it's ready. Steve Clifford will reportedly step down as head coach of the Hornets after the season. Your thoughts?
This makes sense. He was Michael Jordan's guy. New ownership is in. Steve Clifford is out. Bryson DeChambeau said today, Tony, that a golf merger needs to happen soon because too many fans are losing interest. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree with that specific point. I agree with the point it has to happen soon. You don't want the best golfers in the world only competing at four events. Jackson County voters rejected the extension of a tax that would have helped fund stadium deals for the Chiefs and Royals. Is that significant?
Hugely. People are sort of waking up to the idea that these are bad deals for the people. Connor McDavid, meanwhile, is three assists away from 100. Is that significant?
Yeah, because there's only three players ever who have done that. Gretzky, Lemieux, and Orr. You join that crew, you've joined the best. Last one, Indiana State, Seton Hall advanced to the NIT final on Thursday night. I believe I had that. Are you excited?
I am. Robbie Avila, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd. Should have been in the tournament. Instead, he might win an NIT title. Not bad.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser, and I'm holding this sign.
Oh, yes. I'm Pablo Torre. I'm holding another sign. Thank you for watching. This is my show, Pablo Torre Finds Out. Check that out. But for now, your sports center.
Wait. This is your show, the PTI show, or that is your show? You said this.
This is my show. Only.